We come to that about the message for this morning and thinking about what hymn to tie in with where this message begins. I really couldn't think of any. Because, see, our story starts today with people who meet Jesus and just aren't impressed. In fact, they're outright irritated. And there just aren't a lot of songs in our hymnal that talk about not being impressed with Jesus. And I think there's probably a lot of good reasons for that, because it's probably just not within our thinking to think of people not being impressed with Jesus. And yet, as we come to our story this morning, we come to a very interesting episode in Jesus' life. Jesus has been teaching throughout the region of Galilee. He has marveled and amazed people. They have truly stand amazed in his presence. And they have murmured and whispered, "Could this be the one? Could this be who we've waited for?" They know he is at the very least an incredible teacher, a prophet of God. He has surrounded himself with some called disciples. And with the inner group of these disciples are 12, whom Jesus has selected out to specially train and specially teach and given a special authority to. His disciples follow him as he decides to return home. Home to Nazareth, the place where he grew up. The place where people know him best. The place where his mother still lives. His sisters are still there. His brothers are well known. Certainly they have heard about Jesus. In fact, we know that the hometown has heard of the marvelous things that Jesus is doing. They've heard the marvelous and incredible things he is saying. Because at one point, the family came to find him, to bring him home, because they were quite sure he was out of his mind. And so maybe we shouldn't be too surprised that as Jesus comes home to the people who know him best, to share the incredible message that he has been sharing with so many other people. They probably packed the synagogue that day. Jesus was back. They'd heard all kinds of wild things about him. They probably wanted to hear it for themselves. And as he opened his mouth and began to teach, they were amazed. Where did he get these things? Who had given him this incredible wisdom? After all, he was just one of them. He'd grown up in that town. They'd known him when he was just, well, this high. They remember when he played with their kids. They probably remembered him wailing and screaming, stubbing his toes, getting frustrated. For them, Jesus was incredibly human. Incredibly real. Incredibly normal. They didn't see in him the amazing things other people saw in him. They saw in him someone who was stepping outside of what they thought was possible. And they were irritated. They probably remembered when Jesus used to come to synagogue and just sit there and sing and sing and sing. And they said, certainly this person who used to interrupt church could not be the Messiah. But maybe that is just who the Messiah is among us. After all, Jesus said, remember, be like the children. They were irritated, though. How dare he present himself in this manner? How dare he do these amazing deeds? When Jesus healed the few sick in the town that he did, they weren't impressed. They were offended. They did not see the inbreaking of God. they saw somebody stepping outside of what their perceptions about how things should be and what was possible. It pushed their comfort zones. It rocked their world. And they were not happy about it. "How dare he," they said. "Who does he think he is?" Notice they never ask, "Who is this man?" Remember, a couple weeks ago, we were pretty hard on the disciples because when they saw the incredible, miraculous things that Jesus did, their first response was, "Who is this man?" You know, we thought, at least I did, that they had traveled with him. They should have some clue by now who he is. And yet, every time Jesus does something new and they are amazed, they are brought back to realizing they don't know this Jesus the way they thought they did. And as they reflect on that, they ask the question. They reflect on the reality. Who is this man? People in Jesus' hometown did not ask. They did not wonder who he was. They knew who he was. He was Jesus of Nazareth, a carpenter. One of them. Nobody special. They knew his mother. He was the son of Mary. They knew his brothers. He was the brother of their friends and acquaintances. He was the brother of the sisters who lived among them. They didn't ask who he was because they were sure he already knew. They already knew. And I wonder, how could they be so blind? How could they be so rigid? Perhaps it was because they did not really trust or believe in themselves. And he was just one of them. So how could he be doing all of this stuff? They were incredibly religious people. Remember, this was his hometown. It was a Jewish town. They were in synagogue when he began to teach. They were people who had been longing for a very long time for the Messiah to come. And yet, when the Messiah stands before them, teaching with power and authority, is in their midst doing healing, they don't see it. They are unable to perceive this normal person, this ordinary guy that they've all grown up with, being the inbreaking of the kingdom. The Messiah had to come from somewhere else, be someone amazing and incredible. You know, maybe if he had grown up in Jerusalem. Have you heard the definition of an expert? An expert is someone who carries a briefcase and comes from at least 50 miles away. We might upgrade that to an expert is somebody who carries a laptop computer and comes from at least 50 miles away. Jesus fit neither of those. He was one of their own. It couldn't happen there. It couldn't happen in their midst. It couldn't be one of their own. They had already decided how things worked and how things were. And they did not want distracted by the truth. And so instead of seeing God working, they saw an upstart shaking the boat, causing problems, and being an irritant. And they were offended. It may be hard for us to imagine not being impressed with Jesus. But how many times has it been said in this church? And I'm just guessing, having been a part of a lot of small churches. Well, that's nice, but, you know, we can't do that because we're just a small church. Well, you know, we really don't have enough people to pull that off. Have anybody ever around here said, well, you know, we've just never done it that way before? Every time we look around at ourselves and we draw limits, it can't happen here because we're too small. It can't happen here because we just don't have the right gifts. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough time. We don't have enough people. We haven't had enough training. We really are limiting God. We are being those people in Nazareth saying, I'm just really not that impressed with what God can do in our midst. We've already decided what can happen, what can be. The lines are drawn, and we shove it all in the box, and we nail the lid on tight. Instead of looking around and seeing how God might already be at work in our midst, what amazing things might be happening that we had no idea about, that we had never thought of. The people of Nazareth didn't have much faith in the familiar. They didn't believe much in what they knew. But the good news is, Jesus has faith in the familiar and in the ordinary and the things we already know about. Jesus was a very ordinary guy, born of a woman, and yet the Son of God. And in that, he knew that God could do amazing things with ordinary stuff. Jesus' disciples were just ordinary folks. Fishermen, tax collectors, townspeople, people from small towns and small synagogues. And these people, these ordinary folks, are who Jesus commissioned, consecrated. He said, I give you the authority over all the unclean spirits. And then he sent them out two by two to ordinary villages. And amazing things happened. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. I wonder, do we have faith in ordinary stuff? In ordinary people? In ourselves? That God can do amazing things with us. I've been told that many times Jessica and McGray reminded you all that the things that you see up front are just ordinary things. These are just candles. This is just a table. This is just wood shaped in a form. It's just ordinary stuff that God is using to do extraordinary things. Every time I look at the prayer rail, or the altar rail as you may call it, I am reminded of that. Because when I was in seminary, I had a professor who liked to shock us with telling us where all of this stuff originated from and what its original purpose was. Now take yourself back in time a ways to the Mediterranean region, when buildings were built open with no glass in the windows and often no, just a doorway, an arch. And chickens and pigs, well, not pigs in Jewish neighborhoods, but in Gentile neighborhoods there would have been, and goats and cows could just wander around. And they could wander inside. Now, if you had stuff up front that you didn't want messed with, you had to put some barrier between where the little goat came climbing in the door to where you didn't want him to go. You have to also remember that the open space in early churches was often just an open space. No chairs, no pews, nothing to be very concerned about. The people just came in and stood. Any kind of things that were used in the service were kept up front. And so they simply built a little fence across the front. A fence! A cow and goat fence! And that's why in a lot of churches, when you see the altar rail, it will have a break in the middle and open, kind of like a gate. It's just a goat and cow fence. Now, we weren't real happy with our professor at this point. We said, now, every time we go to take communion or go to kneel at the altar, we're going to just be thinking of this. And it just ruined it for me for a couple of weeks because I would just be giggling about the fact this was just an ordinary old fence. And then I remembered, well, wait a minute. That's the way God works. Think about it. God took an ordinary old fence and consecrated it, made this ordinary thing something extraordinary. That God could take something that we simply put in our churches to keep animals from crawling around the altar area, and make it a place where people came in contact with the holy. Is that not amazing to think of? Think of the people throughout history who have given their life to Christ at an altar rail. Think of the number of people throughout history who have kneeled and taken communion there, and felt and known the presence of God. I'm astounded that God can take something so ordinary and make it so extraordinary. And if that is true about a cow fence, then certainly that can be true about you and me. We're just ordinary folks, guys. There's nothing special about us. We get up out of bed the same way other people do. We breathe. Our heart beats. And yet, when God gets involved, we can do extraordinary stuff. I wonder what would happen in Bethel United Methodist Church if we started looking around for what God was doing in our midst. What kind of extraordinary things he was doing with this ordinary place and us ordinary people. What would happen if instead of showing up and thinking, okay, we know how this works. We know how things go. We know who we are. We know who Jesus is. And we started showing up with expectation. What do you think God is going to do next? Whose life do you think God is working in this week? Who do you think he's tapping on the shoulder and saying, you know what? I can do something extraordinary with you. Who he's filling with his spirit, full of gifts to be shared with all of us. What if we stop showing up saying, dear Lord, please bless our service today. Please bless our lives. Please bless our families. Please bless our pastor. She needs it. And we started showing up saying, Lord, show us what you're blessing. Show us what you're about. Show us what you're doing. And we started looking around with a magnifying glass. For any small inbreaking of the kingdom of God, any small way that God was doing something amazing in our midst. I think it could be pretty incredible. The people of Nazareth thought they knew who Jesus was. Just an ordinary guy. And so they were sure that God could not use him to do extraordinary things, let alone thought that he could be God himself. We think we know who Jesus is too. That he is an extraordinary Savior of this world. But in knowing who Jesus is, do we really know who we are? We're no longer just ordinary folks, guys. We're Jesus' redeemed disciples. And just like the disciples he sends out, he is wanting to send us out. The disciples, he said, hey, don't worry about a lot of preparation. Just go with what you have. Don't worry about taking money. Don't worry about taking extra clothes. Don't worry about anything. Just take what I've given you and go. What would happen if we would take seriously that God can do extraordinary things with our lives? Our closing hymn is Take My Life and Let It Be, Consecrated, Lord, to Thee. It's number 399. And I chose this hymn because I hope it will be our prayer today that God would consecrate us and that we would go out and let every moment, every word, every breath be something sacred.